Oh, yeah, I went to school there.
See,
I want to see it.
That's the corner of it.
Oh, yeah, that's right out there. Did you know that I got your wife's, she sold her secondhand school books and pawned them all, bought them for me because we wasn't able to buy my new books. And they've got Goldie Zickerfuss, you know, is before she was married. She went to school there a while, you know, Tom. Mm-hmm. And then I went.
You did.
Have you got a picture of the old school building all together?
No, I haven't.
But the East End.
There's one over home. Picture of it, and the snow was on, but it's kind of distant.
I guess Clint Evans has a picture of the oldest, the first school
it was right west of where the Methodist Church was. I remember it. It's a box.
It was right west of the first Methodist Church that burnt down, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, they built the other one on the same foundation.
Yeah, same time. Mm-hmm. That's right. How old was your mother when she died?
She was 91 in the first day of December, and she died in April.
I've got a lady I'm going to interview in Sepulpa that's 106 years old by the name of Moss. I met the boy, the grandson today, and I'm going to go interview her. She's still active and got real. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's a pretty good picture for
that's very
that
cool.
Old.
Was it just a photographer that came through taking
it? I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a beautiful picture. I wish all the ones that you knew, you would he would show us on that picture.
I don't remember that part.
Did you all know that John's mother was in this picture?
John's
mother? Bessie. Right here. Mm-hmm. And some of the Law Master children in Spess, I believe you said.
Honey, you have my number.
Mm-hmm. Bakers, I know. Would, let's see. What about the Lincolns? Would they have the...
How are you listening? Tell me.
Too young to go to school. Uh-huh.
Put down there how you get your medicine.
I think that time Jim's no back.
I can't get you
That's a good clear picture.
That is beautiful. It's not very faded at all. Are we going to have to have? I want you to kind of give a report because didn't you say you had to leave and
yeah,
just?
Yeah, I'll go pretty soon.
You go ahead though and tell us about what you've been doing. Yeah.
Oh golly, I'll be glad to.
Yeah, she wants
to
talk about
her. I'm always glad to hear him when he gets through. But Tommy, I haven't seen you in many years. If you won't feel hurt at me saying this. You know, you make me a mind of that I can't keep from looking at you because it's been so long since I saw you. And you make me think of a southern gentleman like that man.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you do, really. I didn't realize, you know, how he would look when he got older because it's been a long time since I saw you, hadn't it?
Yeah.
I remember him as the...
I forget names, but I remember faces. Oh, it's been about 3 years ago, I guess. I'd seen the car stop out south of the house, and somebody comes to the door, and first coming to my mind, that's Slim Bridges. And no, it couldn't be Slim, it'd have to be Sam. He knocked the door, and I went to the door, and I said, "Hello, Sam." He said, "Well, I'll be darned."
Was it Sam?
It was Sam.
Oh, my golly, that used to be my boyfriend.
He said, "You haven't seen me since 1918.
Yeah, I never will forget the first time folks said I could have a boyfriend. I was 16 years old. I had to wait till I get to be 16. And he came and I was milking a cow as the hottest evening ever was, and it embarrassed me to death. And there he was up there trying to see me. And I wouldn't even get my head back from that cow long enough to look at him. And it embarrassed me to death. He came to walk me down to the old hall building where we used to have church, and that was called your feller. It wasn't your boyfriend them days, it was your feller.
You did see your picture in your Sunday school.
No, I didn't see it. And you know, he walked in one past me, and I never was disgusted. He didn't come, and then there I was, you know, not fixed up. I used to have to just be fixed just right.
Every hair
and that, yeah. That's right. My old hair was this long and yellow as that.
Did you all used to play post office, or was that just when I was...
No, I never played post office.
How about you, Mr. Prince?
Long ago, no, wouldn't let me go to kissing games.
You'd rather not talk about it?
I don't know.
We've got a picture of Zola here. She, we think she recognized herself.
Where is
Zola? We've got a picture of you here.
Well, Zola, I used to play post office. I don't know.
That's me right there. I bet you, because I always had to have bangs. Where did you get this picture?
We don't know. You have to ask him.
Sunday school admission.
Yes, sir. There's Rose Doman.
See my high button shoes?
Yeah.
You see how long ago that was.
Well, didn't we have good times at that old Basin church?
Which one is Tommy in?
This one right here.
I thought so.
Isn't that Mrs. Clegg's Sunday school class, I believe? Isn't she up
on the believe so. Oh, say.
And see,
here's Ernest DeFriest.
They're on
he
the inside.
He went to World War I. He was my boyfriend, and he never came back. That's right. Do you remember him?
Yes.
I thought he was the handsomest boy I ever
on the Angelo place.
Yeah.
Was this the teacher?
I thought Deb always looked. Ben said to me, he said, how come you'd marry Deb Sample? Said, was because he looked like Ernest DeFriest, and he does. I don't have him and I, we're going together. That's the reason. And there's Jack Thompson, the boy Paul Ma raised. Right there. There's Jack Thompson. We raised that boy.
Well, I can remember.
She didn't have enough kids herself. She had
this lady right here. Was that the school teacher?
So, were you sitting down?
Oh, for pity's sake.
I can talk to
you. Look kind of small there. Were you just a little girl then? Because you look short.
Well, I'm down on my knees, ain't
I? Oh, that's it. Well, I knew you couldn't be that short.
I never will. I hadn't thought of Ernest DeFriest for quite a while, but I got a real good picture of him when he sent me from Germany.
Mm-hmm. And now,
I was never going to get married.
He lived in the basin too then.
Okay. Yeah, he lived over there. That's my really first boyfriend I ever had, because that old Sam Bridge changed his tongue red.
Oh, yeah. No,
But that boy there, I really thought lots of him.
Well, what grade was it?
It was Sunday school.
Oh, it was Sunday school class. Okay, here we go.
Now, who was
and
your minister
there was Miss Miss Sue.
Huh?
Miss Sue was that teacher was from West End.
Well, no, some classes she was maybe. Sue Roberts. She taught school in West End, but I think on that picture, Mrs. Clegg was a teacher.
Well, in the Sunday school.
Yeah, in Sunday school class.
Well, Miss Sue Roberts taught West End.
Yes, she
taught
West End. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you
tell
something
you,
about.
I remember that very well.
Was she one of your teachers?
No, but. I believe it is the first year I carried the mail. See, I got over there about 1:30 or somewhere, 2 o'clock by then. The little boy came out and said, the teacher wanted me to come in. So I tied up my team and went in. And it was, I imagine, about September or some early October. But anyway, the kids were going barefooted. And Dave Clegg had run a big splinter under the toenail of his big toe. And they couldn't get it out. And she had to call in and see if I could get it. But I went back to the wagon. I had a little pair of pliers in there and got a hold of it and put it out. So I remember.
I done the same thing at Dixie. We had old wood floors, and this little boy run across it, and he run a splinter in his heel, and you know I had to go to the car and get the wire pliers and dig that great long thing out of his little
It was right onto the toenail of his big toe.
Oh, the experiences that country teachers have.
Oh, that he does.
No. Well, I'll declare.
Dave still does things like that.
Tommy, you know, the world's been better off that people like you lived and other people. You know, nowadays, people don't think a thing about of what they want to do to leave any kind of a heritage. They just want to rip somebody off, a young man like that did. But you know, in that day, those young men were all good people and wanted to do everything. There was just now and then an outlaw. But
well,
today, they
told
just,
you anything, their word was good then.
Yes. I do want to tell you something. It's getting late and I don't want to talk, but yeah, I do want to talk to you. I want to tell you, I really sold books right and left. I tell you what, and I took in every superintendent's name and principal, and I've sold all the schools from Okmulgee on north on that Highway 169 to the Kansas line, from 2 to 4 to 6 and Sand Springs 15, and I've sold Oakmulgee and all them as far as Pawnee West, because I just have to go. I pack my lunch, eat under a tree in town so I won't be bothered, or in a store somewhere. I take my lunch because I want to eat what I want to eat, you know, so it keeps the old body going. And then I sold clear to Oklahoma City. And that was that age tour with these eyes to find the right channel to get in that one way. Oh, it was awful. And I had to stop at the filling station, and people would say, see that car going yonder? Well, go that round that circle and two or three red lights and then so-and-so. And finally I found it. And it was a colored lady, was a librarian, and she took 11 books. And here it'll show you how many schools. I bet you I sold $1,500 worth of school books. See there? And, well, already, all told, I've sold 539. And I lacked, today when I started out selling, I've got $35 in my pocketbook, checks mostly. Yeah, they're all checks, so don't hijack me. Yeah. Well, anyway, I like $787 being out, having my $4,532 out of that. That's what that book cost me for 1040. Well, the other day, that Pioneer Woman Museum up at Ponca City, she sent a check for $8, so it went to this Metco Press, and they sent it on down here to me. And then he wrote me a letter, and he said, Rosola, from the looks of things, the way you're selling that book, I'd written and told him I had, 500 and something then, so. And he said, looks like we're going to have to publish that House with Jillian Memories if you're getting any requests for it. And I bet you I've had 50 or 75 requests for it. And it's out of print, you know, Tommy, now. It was printed in 57. So he told me to wrap a book and send it up there, and I did this morning. And he said since it was already printed, that the prices of print and paper and labor and everything was going up, and he would quote me a good price on it now just to print it like it was. So I may get about 500. I don't know what to do about it, but I kind of think so. And see, this other thing, they sent a man down to Oakmulgee from the Oklahoma Christian College, and he's taken tape recorders of all historical people. Now, he should get a hold of Tommy. Mm-hmm. If I write him or anything, I'm going to mention it, because here's the thing he's doing, Tommy. He's getting, they're wanting this for this bicentennial thing, all his old early day stuff, and you'd have a whole lot of it, too. And what he's going to do with mine, the man that took me, but they were four of them come, and they used Dave Logan. Dave Logan used to be a representative of Congress from down there. And we went in separate rooms, me and this fella in one room and all the others. And they're going to run my part. Mine was history on this in Oklahoma. And they're going to use it orally for the history classes. And so it'd be nice, because one of these days us old timers are going to be gone, and these young kids today ain't going to have it. And that's one reason I wrote the book. I didn't write the book for it to be a book. I wrote them 12 chapters just for my family, because I'd lost Deb, and I was sitting there, you see, Tommy, and just lonely in that big old house. And I wanted to keep the arthritis out of my fingers, and I wanted to keep typing. And I had a lot of paper that the newspaper gave me that didn't cost me anything, because I wrote for the Oakmulgee Times. I had 273 articles in that Oakmulgee paper 1 year, and you know there's only 365 days, but sometimes they'd publish two or three a week. And I'm not writing good like I used to, because, see, I've been broke into. I've got four rent houses, and I own a quarter block there right in the heart of that city, right just one block off Wood Drive. And, boy, they just harass me to death. I have to lock myself in them three upstairs windows and keep all my windows downstairs nailed shut. We all do. All of us does in there. The lady across the street, she's sitting on her front porch the other evening, about way before the sun was down, and a kid, the same kid that's been breaking into mine, he broke in back there and stole four green stamp books while she sat on the front porch, her can opener and her radio and God only knows what, all $30 and everything. That's the way they do it. They call it ripping them off because they need a fix or a... What have I got? I got to go home. I know that, but see how dark it's getting. Now, when I get home tonight, folks, I'll have to go to one of my renter's houses, have him bring his ball bat, and come down the alley and help me get in the garage and take me up to the house, and then he has to take his ball bat to protect himself and go back up the alley.
Why don't you move back to Manford?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something, the dying truth. I wish to God that that house was up here. We'd make a museum out of it.
Oh, we need it.
But we can't get that house up here.
No.
Tommy, it's a beautiful house, isn't it?
It sure is.
And it needs to be here. Because here's where my roots are. Here's where I'll be buried. I've been in Oakmulgee longer than any place else, and I've got a host of friends down there, too.
This is still home,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, and everybody is for me down there. Land, I don't even hardly cook anymore. This one brings cake, that one brings quartz, somebody else brings something.
Excuse me.
Well, I put the first set automobile delivery truck in
Oakmulgee. Who was
that? Cartwrights.
Cartwrights.
Cartwrights Market. Cartwrights Quality Market.
I don't know anything about that, but you know Bert Greenwood's cousin, brother to Nola? He had one of the first grocery stores, and his place joins mine, did, till they sold it. He's dead now, of course.
Well,
see, I haven't been there, sir, but just since 50. Brother Bill died over at Cushing. I couldn't stay there no longer, and I picked me a town I didn't know a soul, so that they wouldn't keep saying, oh, it's too bad Bill died. That's what they did about Daddy, and I had a nervous breakdown. I didn't work for 2 years, and I was afraid I'd have another one, and so... I said, Deb, let's just find a place for us. Hon, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go.
Well, we're so glad you got to be with us tonight. And anytime you're over here and you don't come see us, we're just going to...
I know,
mad.
You called Monita and tell her I just didn't have time because I've been everywhere today.
And I'll talk to Rowan and Langston for you.
Oh, I do want to tell you something. I do want to tell you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I talked at... the senior citizens place in Bates Thursday, was it? Thursday I made the tape recording. Friday I talked in Bates. The 26th I talked in Oakmulgee. The 31st I talked at Henrietta. Wednesday I go see about these eyes because I'm going blind. I know. Dr. Stewart. And Tulsa's gonna see me, and I'm gonna see if I can't get better glasses. But if I can get once on a beeline where the lights are, I can make it in home all right. Now, I hate to take a big charge of your.
Oh, you didn't.
I want to be with you so bad.
We're glad you got to be here.
We might sell that house and build another. we might get over to move it. They offered me $40,000 10 years ago for just it in the garage. But see. I didn't know what to do because Deb was just gone and I didn't want to do the wrong thing, and he's told me to live there till I died because it is a good house to live in and everything. It's a good well-built house. It'll be there long after I'm gone. And then I got a good income there. I've got them 4 rentals for sometimes for 9 months. So I don't have to push this book so, but something just makes it.
Well, you drive here.
Anytime you can come down, come down.
Okay. You come back and catch me.
Okay, now how do I go get out?
Right to the right.
Right to the right.
Just turn to the right.
Yeah. And thanks a lot. And I'm sorry to them.
See daylight.
So get some outside and see you.
Bye-bye.
Talking.
She's the talker.
She don't run back.
Ever since she's been a little girl.
She's
a... She's over 75, I believe.
She said, who was it? It was 87, and she was 11 years, her brother Art was 87, and she's 11 years younger. So that makes her about 76.
I knew she was over 75.
76.
She has so much energy. She's retired, but... Oh, the book.
She wrote it.
She writes a lot of articles. Old-time food teacher and writer.
She was a beauty operator, too. She had her own beauty shop in Manford for how many years? Oh, did she?
Well, that's an Oakmulgee one.
Well, and, she was a beauty operator in Old Navy, too.
They're all those wires, you know, and they brought them down, and then they said they're fans.
Yeah. You should raise your hand.
Lisa, this was in Old Manford, wasn't it?
Right. This was in Old Manford.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Well, I didn't know she had a beauty shop in Manford. And after she went over Mogus.
Mama canned some poke for her. Take a canned poke for, and she gave me and my sister a permit.
Yeah.
For that's where Mom paid for the permit.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Huh? Cold. Cold.
You said pork.
No, cold. Cold. Green. Yeah, green.
Green.
We want you to talk to us about when you came into the basin, when your family came, and
how
we're just kind of interested
came
in
this area.
About 11.
About 11.
Yeah.
Where did you first settle?
Well, between Stillwater and Terry. About Edwards. Stillwater and Terry. We come down here in 1906.
Somewhere. Down into Manford?
Yeah,
in
well,
about
the basin.
In the basin, about 1906.
And can you tell us where you live? Because, you know, we could find you if you kind of told us.
Well, first 3 years, we lived across from the smelters there. That was Wiggs's then.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
then in 1990, we moved down on that from 3529.
Mm-hmm.
And that is.
Mm-hmm. And do you have brothers and sisters who are still
living? I have one sister living, one brother. He died about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's just three children in your family.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you come from here?
You mean here. To Oklahoma?
Uh-huh.
Well, in 98, come from Arkansas.
From Arkansas?
Hmm, what part?
Bentonville.
Bentonville? Mm-hmm.
You're Arkansas, are you?
What?
You're Arkansas, you're here.
Yeah, from around Hot Springs.
Did your folks settle in Arkansas there before?
Yeah, my daddy come, he was born in Michigan. They come to Kansas when he's 9 years old, and then on to Arkansas and Louisiana, and back up from Arkansas and Oklahoma by covered wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Was your mother born in?
She was born in Arkansas. My mother.
What was your mother's maiden name? You said she was born in Arkansas.
Edwards.
Edwards?
Dad said the first time he come out here in 98, he moved somebody out here to Perkins, I believe. And there's just one house between Red Fork and Cushing. It comes through this old turkey track trail through here from Red Fork, comes through here to John Berryhill place. And see, there was, you just follow the ridge roads then. And then across is Perkins, and when they moved out here, and then went back toward us. Between Stillwater and Perry's where they settled.
I wondered if you had trouble with quicksand when you were living around here. That
well,
problem,
yes, and after the river set.
Mm-hmm.
See, there wasn't any bridges on the Arkansas. Well, this Manford Bridge is built in 1909, and that Keystone Bridge was built later than that.
Mm-hmm.
One time, it was a dray. See, on both sides of the river Keystone, Appalachia is about as big as Keystone. And the ferry boat between the towns, and the river bent up, and I happened to be down there, and there was somebody leading the cow that was going across the river, so they was sitting on the dray wagon and leading the cow, and went off the ferry boat, and somebody had forgot to put the apron up. You guys, you know what that is.
Yeah.
And when he hit the bar of shallow water on the other side, why, they said, wait a minute, we put the apron. Oh, they said, so to get further out, he said, oh, it's just shallow, I'll just drive off. He just drove off in there. And then he looked back to see how the boy was coming with the cow, and that team just... they jumped off, there's two or three on there, and run around, held the horse's heads up there. And they'd have to pull a leg up at a time, and it took the wagon out of the wheel at the time. But after you settle it a little, it gets solid then. But it was right after a race.
Mm-hmm.
But used to, horses, some old horses used to break before, you know. They'll go to bogging, they'd lay down. I remember John Baker at their East Lomas, the place there. That used to be the main, well, that was the main road to Keystone from Manford at one time. You know, he'd go around through the basin and cross there. And they, after the river had been up, well, Baker's had a big bay horse, tall, and they'd go down there and they'd make two or three trips across there, you know, and that's kind of settled out and then go with the wagon.
They'd use the horse to kind of pack the
Well, wagon. Yeah, it's just walking on it. See, it'll make that quicksand kind of settle out.
Oh, for goodness sake.
The pole was the ford on the Arkansas River close to Stennett there that they come across in Dola's time in their book.
Well, there's different places now. I don't know.
They didn't have a special ford there.
East of the old Bollinger place over there, Leroy, and then comes south a mile there, and then there's one on going across from there. And then there's one over there south of Cruiser. But you know, up and down Cimarron.
No, I'm talking about across the Arkansas.
Across the Arkansas. Well, I wasn't too familiar with it over there. But there's one there at below Keystone, you know, there at the Rock End that's crossing there.
And who had that theory, Mr.? Different people.
I imagine it is. Mm-hmm. Mr. Stoneman told me one time about that ford down there. They'd went to Tulsa and they'd got the community mail. And they said they went down like, they was gone 2 or 3 days. And when they come back, the river was there. So they camped on the other side a few days before they got down there. I think it didn't have any cable holes then. They pulled it. He put the team on and unhooked him, took the wagon sheet off. He had his wife and kids with him. And they pulled it up to about the mouth of Cimarron and shot it across, and they couldn't stop it on this side. And so they got back to the other side and done the same thing over. And then they got the second trip while they threw a rope to an Indian and he tied it to a tree. So that's our way of communication back then.
What did it cost to mail anything in those days?
Oh, letter of 2 cents. Postcard 1. 13.
We'll be kind
when did you start carrying?
Yeah, that's fine.
March 12, 1970.
March 12, 1970.
And could you tell, sir, there had been two, were there two mail carriers preceding you?
Three.
Three, uh-huh.
John Nash, which was Dave Craig's uncle. He was the first carrier. I believe that valve was established in 1907. And he didn't carry it too long, though he was postmaster then. And then Walter Strain, he was down by Dupuy, I believe. And he carried it for a while. And then a fellow named Booth. I can't think of his first name. He was from Bristol or that area down in there somewhere. Dupuy or something.
Well, is it just an old saying that the mail has to go through, or time come that they couldn't get through?
Well, we usually got through pretty good. There's one time I didn't get around. That is from 43, I believe, when they had that big rain. We couldn't get out of town to the west there. That creek is all over. And Salt Creek down here, like about 3 feet being moved to the arch. I believe that was 43.
And you didn't deliver mail then?
I didn't just deliver mail like that.
Tell me, when did you quit delivering mail?
Last day of November, 1965.
Last day of November, 1965.
They paid me for the first of the year. I had 30 days leave coming.
We'd be kind of interested in the postmasters you worked under. Mrs. Devasher, was she your first one?
Yes, uh-huh. And then Myrtle Wheeler, she was Roy Wheeler's wife. That was during the war. And she postmaster till I think he got back out of the Army. And then Mrs. Thompson.
And Mrs. Thompson would be John Scoville's grandmother, is that right? That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. that Thompson's mother.
No, that's different Thompson.
Different
Thompson. Yeah.
Mr. Gray, how did you acquire a mail carrier's job back in those days? Did you?
We took an examination.
You took an examination?
It's
a pauper.
It was a number, I don't remember how many there were, but I called named Dodie Rundy. He was the head telephone attendant. And Alfred Wilson and myself from up here. I don't remember. There was a few of them.
Did you always, did you have that buggy from the start, or did you deliver on a horse for a while?
Well, no, I delivered in the buggy to start with. We had a buckboard at home, but of course you know how they're slapped in the bottom. So Clarence Green had a buggy with a solid bottom, so I leased that from him. But I'd ordered this. We didn't have fossil food.
Put it in your saddlebag?
Yeah, we had a leather bag.
Yeah.
Part of the teaching pocket in it.
Well, could you make your whole route in one day, or did you go?
Yeah,
you made
24 miles. That's a little over. That's what it was then.
You made all one
day. With a horse and buggy, that's about it. Yeah. Well, the schedule was to leave 8:30 and get back 4:30.
Now, would you deliver mail in this area around here, or in the immediate basin area, or what would your run route have been?
Well, I come from Manford, straight south on the old road. It's not open through there now. Comes out from the hollow over here. You know where the flower shop is over here, the corner right west of that. Come from Manford straight to that, then went east here to Johnny Rogers Corner, and then went back to the basin. And then made that round circle around that half section.
Do you all
and
know?
And then come back and went to the west basin.
Johnny Rogers Corner, do you all know where that is?
Down here by the schoolhouse.
That was his name. He lived there, I guess.
Yeah, he was full, but that is allotment. His 40 acres right where the south end of town is. He had another 80 down on the creek there. But that was full that Johnny Rogers Corner because he had a little house and he lived out there.
Approximately, how many stops did you have? Was it very populated?
Back, no, I probably had about 60, 65. Yeah.
Did people want you to visit with them or, when you came by? You know, I mean, was it?
Well, not too much. You always need somebody you haven't seen in a couple of minutes, but then usually not much.
How about carrying stuff from town out there for them? Did you ever do that?
Well, somebody asked me about the strangest request I had, and a lady, she'd moved from Pawnee down there, and she was about to bring 25 pound of ice. We weren't supposed to. It had to go through the post office.
Clarence said he cut stuff out there and delivered to groceries.
What year did you start using an automobile?
About 20, I guess. Hello, Lloyd. But I kept the team for a couple of years after that because a lot of this road was wagon road. It wasn't really. And
probably
come rain time,
during the winter, too, that you wouldn't be able to get over it on
come
the
rain, you drive a team a day or two.
Well, you had some pictures here, I don't know if all of them saw it, of different vehicles that you used on your mail route, didn't you? And didn't you have one of a mule? I want you to tell us about the mule. I think that's kind of interesting.
Well, that's just the one of the teams. Year, I had a team of ponies. And the second year, second or third year, I had three different teams while I was using teams. But I kept them for two or three years after I quit using them, just using them occasionally. Got so you could, sometimes, back then, you wake up at night, it was raining, and you just were going to get stuck the next day.
Well, tell me, when Mr. Baker was county road commissioner, did we have a pretty good road out in the basin, or was he able to? I just wondered about that.
Well, it's wagon road. It wasn't graded, though.
Yeah, in those days it wasn't graded.
If you had got bridges put in, well, you're lucky.
Well, between the ferries, I heard Mr. Smeltzer, I think, say this. and I believe he meant in the basin. He said something about 34 miles. Now, does that sound right, or have I misunderstood? 34 miles between the ferries. And I thought maybe he meant the distance in the basin between a ferry or something.
Well, he might have been talking about between the ferry at Manford and one down there, but it wouldn't have been that far.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, were there different ferry operators at different times there at Manford? I've heard mention of that.
Well, yeah, I guess there was. I was just a kid. And I didn't
Well, was there one in about 1918 that Peck Martin's dad and uncle... somebody, Whitehead, I believe Mr. Evans.
Shouldn't have been 1918 because the bridge,
be too late,
the bridge down there then, 1909.
Yeah, must have been some city. With early day ferries, I guess.
But before they had that bridge, they built it or built him a flying Jenny, they called it. Have you heard that one?
Tell us about that flying Jenny.
He had a cable across the river from top of the tree up there by his house, the one across the river, and he had a phone wire, and you wind it across, and you know, pulled yourself across one of the rivers there.
And who was it now?
Bill Taylor.
Oh, Bill Taylor.
From mm-hmm. Bob Taylor's granddaddy. Mm-hmm. He lived on the bank of the river right north of Manford.
Where do you have something on a pulley that would go on
cable? Well, this wire was around pulley at each end, see, and they would... wind it, see, and that would pull himself across.
Well, would they just hold on to the wire, or did they have a
he had a basket.
Yeah,
That's called, that's been Bill's invention, he said.
And they called it a flying jet.
They called it a flying jet.
I'd like to have a picture of that. I don't guess you have a picture.
Then that swing bridge over the basin. Oil company built that long about the 20s. You know, they had leaks on both sides of the river, and they built that to the hands to the back of the road.
On the Arkansas or Cimarron? What about till there?
At the north, let's see, 35, northeast corner of 26.
29. Okay. Yeah, I'm on 29.
You were?
29.
You're over in the west.
Yeah.
You know where the Baker place is?
Yeah.
Well, it's just straight on north, right over Rose Wash out, and they got that trash in there?
Yeah.
Just above that section line.
Yeah. Straight across the river from there.
Huh.
Did it go across north, or did it go west?
No, west east. Well, they had a lease on both sides of the river.
Mr. Crane, can you tell us any of the old families that are still here that you delivered mail to?
Back in
their
extended,
of course.
Well, there's the Hintons and the Spethers. And out here, let's see, Bashir and Evan. The first year, I went like I told you a while ago. Then we got an extension later on, and went out to the Jim Hinton place out on Cottonwood, and then come back, went around toward the Miller Ranch, and come back and made a loop there. Then we come back and come around by Evan. We went south there then, and come back. That made it longer than what it originally was.
How about the old Morrissey place? Did you deliver mail there?
Yeah. The road used to go right around the river bank up there. Mm-hmm. Not where it is now.
Yeah, I know.
But up there where they, the west corner of that 80 there at Billy Rue place, went up to this White House on the hill there, and then he followed right around the bluff, come out over there. And then later on, they moved it a quarter mile east there and over it up to there.
Tony Clarence Green lived down on the creek down in there.
The old house.
He had a mailbox up on it. Did you deliver to him?
Yeah, that mailbox was all over and west. Yeah. But Clarence lived there a while, but he lived, most of the time, he lived up the Turtle, or a good part of the time.
Well, you know, on that school lease at Port
Turtle. Yeah. But he had a mailbox up there below the Henry Wheeler place.
You know, when I first came here, he lived down there by the down there, Green.
Didn't there used to be a family by the name of Green that lived north of Manford? You'd go across the old bridge.
John Green.
John Green.
Would they have been related to the other?
No, no relation.
I don't think so. Do you remember what their children's name was? They had a boy and a girl, I believe.
Oh, they had two girls and a boy. Glenn Lund's wife, Essie, was one of the girls. They had three girls and a boy. And Roy Dungan's wife, they lived down the Sand Springs line.
Is that Geraldine?
Geraldine was the youngest one. She married a sneak.
Ola is Ora's wife. Ola.
Ora.
Ola. Ora and Ola.
Ola. Ola. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Ola.
What was the boy's name?
I can't think right now.
The girls' names was Essie and Ola. Ola and Ola.
And Geraldine.
Oh, they had three girls and a boy.
But I can't think of the
boy. The boy died?
The
boy didn't. Do you remember what his name was?
He was here about a year ago, but he had an open heart surgery or something. He died. He did.
In July. He married Wayne Bozart.
Yeah. I can almost think of it.
Was Clarence Green assistant mail carrier during her time?
Part of the time. Yeah.
Was he a full mail carrier?
No, he just substituted.
He just substituted. He never was a full mail carrier.
No.
Well, I knew that.
And Dave was just
substituted. He was quite upset over that old man, Manfred convention down there. In other words, they mentioned about the write up in the paper, mentioned about mail carrier. They didn't have his name in it.
Well, he was subbing for Walter Strain before me, and then he subbed for me with a vacation or something like that.
Who became mail carrier after you?
Well, Dave Clegg later on was substitute when Clarence moved up to Turtle, and Dave carried for about a year, and then John Stoll was next.
Would I saw this question. I asked John Scovel one time, what would be the most unusual thing you ever found in a mailbox? Besides, I mean, you know, can you answer that?
Singing scorpion.
I think he meant John
saying. Uh-huh. Never did find a sniper.
No.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Well, what was the most...
I'll tell you, I stopped at the mailbox one time, and the bees had swarmed, and it was all over that post. It's bigger than a gallon bucket of bees right under that mailbox.
Did you leave the mail?
Pass it by.
I think I passed it by. And I told somebody
Mark
about
mailbox.
That, and they were going out there and swarm them.
It wasn't Mark, was it?
No.
Well, Mr. Craig, what was the most unusual day that you can remember on all your carrying the mail, something that happened that was the most unusual thing?
Well, I think it was a runaway.
Tell us about that.
Well, I had Clarence's buggy. And I believe it was this second Monday, or first Monday of the day. I don't know where this, remember whether it was, I'd carry it 1 week or 2 weeks. Anyway, it stopped at Jim Langham's mailbox, and just as it stopped, the tongue fell down. Well, I made a mistake. I said, whoa, and that bumped him. And about the second jump, it broke on one side of the tongue. It broke two buggy wheels down. And they kicked loose and got away. And the pivot in the net wheel wasn't bad as good. I mean, that pivot would come out and let the tongue run.
That's during the same time that Dr. McDonald drove in a buggy out in the country doing his doctoral work, wasn't it?
Well, I don't think Dr. McDonald did, and old Doc Wheeler did. And Doc Fleming, he's the one that was, she said after him, he'd come. Mm-hmm.
Dr. McDonald, wasn't he the one that lived on the east side of Manford, there in the close to that, not far from that church?
Yeah, across the street there.
Uh-huh.
Old Doc Fleming, he's in that fishing picture.
Mm-hmm. Did you all see the fishing picture that he had of the big catfish that they caught in the seine there y'all didn't make that.
Well, I hope you take that letter.
Well, some of them I don't think I'd see all the pictures. So.
Oh, you didn't?
I came to Manfred in 1938.
He has a picture of the Basin Mothers Club, too, here that's really interesting. They had a Mothers Club. They quilted and things.
He lived in that house, White House, on the corner there, corner of the schoolhouse, and I lived in the White House just across the road.
Yeah, did all of you see the team? You might have enjoyed seeing that.
That's the first year. That's the first team.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Clarence's mail buggy?
No, that's mine.
That's yours.
Oh, this is the one that you had ordered.
Mm-hmm.
From Peoria, Illinois.
Yeah, that's for the
fact where I was raised.
But that's that's customary.
How about that?
One
there,
Bob.
Let's see.
Two horses I drove there. Now, Booth.
They'd be interested in that one, too.
Oh, they might be.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Were the doctors any good in those days?
Now, Mr. Fleming is the one in the white shirt.
You mean
Dr. Fleming? Dr. Fleming, I meant. And this is a picture that probably you all have seen that Mr. Green has a copy of that shows the Negro hanging from the...
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen that one.
Name
is what? I don't remember. Huh.
That's too nice looking jacket.
One weighed 57 and a half, and the other 37, or the one weighed, either one weighed 57 and the other 37 and a half, and I forget which it was. Well, it's saying them out of the river up there by the swinging bridge.
Really?
See, then we had a 200 foot neighborhood saying that was legal land. And
can't do that now.
And that's on Saturday evening. And then
if Mark wasn't here, we'd all say we had one.
I know some people who have some.
That's a pretty good catfish there. Yeah. He said, mm-hmm. You get to looking at him.
And I remember we have a postcard like that that Ray Zickafoos had sent.
Yeah.
And he said something there about the grapes being ripe. Now, you had a lot of grapes growing, too, didn't you, along the same line? Would
well,
these be wild
in,
grapes?
In places there's wild grapes.
Mm-hmm. He's talking about wild grapes, I guess.
I haven't seen
catfish. I've never seen catfish
ever.
I didn't even know they even got that big.
Yeah, let's see. We seen one weighed about 60 pounds one time down about where the dam is now. That was 1911. And the Bill Baker Hall the same, crossed there to Rock Inn and went down on the north side of the river and it was same there. And we got a good one there. And then they had a fish fry down there later on and caught another pretty good one. Right.
I think the biggest one that caught out of the lake recently was 76 or 78 pounds on trot line.
Tommy, you remember there used to be a fish called a gar in the Cimarron. I wonder, do they ever get any out of the lake now, do you know?
Oh, they're full of them.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it's just lying.
It flipped
up. I hadn't heard anybody say anything about it in a long time. But they used to be real thick in the Cimarron.
Let the lake get up a little bit in the spring and watch them spawn up in the little creeks and things. There's just millions of them in there. Any size you want, anywhere from that long to 6 feet long.
Mr. Crane,
got a hard shell.
When you started delivering mail back in the basin, there was no electricity back in there at that day and time, was there?
Wasn't even telephone.
No telephone.
Well, electricity was put in until in the 50s sometime, wasn't it?
I don't know.
52, 53, I think is when it came into my place out there.
I forget what year it was.
Well, Tommy, did you live out in the basin on your
folks
farm
land? Yeah, I was raised out there. I was a kid, went to school out there.
When you married,
no,
you
ever
moved
since when I came to Manfred,
he lived in Manfred.
Yeah. Well, I moved to Manfred in
17. Your oldest boy, Eugene, stayed out there all the time.
Yeah, he stayed out there and rode school bus. He had some hogs out there.
Yeah, he was my FFA boy. He was a farmer. Yeah. He stayed out
He
on
should
the
have
farm.
Been a veterinarian.
Yeah. He
I say he should have been a veterinarian.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What is he on, now?
Huh?
What is he?
He has an office supply store up in Missouri. But he's out there one time and my son and dad said, come in and said, Eugene, what have you been doing? So, I wormed the old sow. I said, how'd you do that? Well, I tied her to a tree. Well, you tie a hole by the upper jaw, you know, and they'll put that back, and then he used a bowling gun and put a dose of medicine down her throat.
Oh.
So, for a kid, now, he liked
to do. Nobody had told him how to do it?
Well, I don't know. They probably had done that before, see? Yeah. This time he thought she needed another place.
He's going to make sure she didn't have any worries.
I think in my garage I still have that jaw spreader.
Yeah.
In the mouth, open up the mouth, you know. Yeah. Spreader. I still have one.
What do you remember about the development of the town of Manford?
I don't know. Really, the town was deteriorating. Manford wasn't as good a town as it used to be. See, they had two cotton gins there.
No, but when did they have the two cotton gins?
Well, for years and years, going back, this is quite a cotton country, you know. I've seen them lined up there block long in summer.
Now, is this, say, like 1902 or 1910?
No, well, see, the railroad didn't come through till 1903. And it was after that. But they was cotton gins, there's two at Keystone, one at Senate, and one or two at Pearl, and they was all over the country, so it's quite popular.
Even when I came out, we still had those two gins, but weren't using but one of them.
You had a canning factory too, didn't you?
They had two gins, but they were only using one of them.
Pete Withers, I heard Mr. That,
yeah,
that
I believe he did.
Before,
yeah.
You know, maybe.
What kind of factory?
Well, Pete had a
canning factory.
Oh,
he had a merry-go-round.
I heard about that.
I remember one time from the, I guess, might have been the second year of being captured. He was supposed to go to Keystone 4th July picnic, and he got stuck on that hill there by the smelter. Some old dad up and got him to get a team and help him pull him up that hill. And he had to ford the river. He was supposed to have to go over there and set up the next day. And he pulled it by an old gray mare. She walked around him on the inner circle there and kept moving around. That was the merry-go-round.
Big delight to the kids, though, wasn't it?
That was about 1970.
How about the bootleg whiskey? Did you ever see any of that traveling around?
Oh, well, I don't know. I guess it was all around.
I talked to Clarence. He's a good friend of mine. Yeah. He said he used to sit on a porch. Not really. He said they came by there by the wagon road. He knew he was hauling.
Well, that's Keystone, but he's, that was pretty big point for distribution. You know, they'd ship it in there. The Emerald boys would.
Yeah.
And four load lots, and then load it out with teams, Spalpa and Tulsa. See, you can ship it in Pawnee County, but it wasn't supposed to be in the Indian Territory for 21 years. Mm-hmm. It stayed. And sometimes they'd offer leave the teams to U.S. Marshals got after them. But the finally, the agent's name is Salmon, and they finally sent them all to the penitentiary, I think. But it was flourishing business for a long time.
What do you remember about the bank robbery, Merrick Manford?
I wasn't in town when that happened. Guess I was out on the round.
Had you possibly heard the story that Lovell Clifford may have been the one who...
I've had that feeling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he was shooting from the back door of the hardware, and there's spots in the rocks in that bank building there that looks like 30-30 to knock them out.
No, Mr. Evans mentioned that this was his theory,
yeah,
and Curtis Peacock, too.
I think a little something. They unloaded him up there by Hudson's, you know, because they had a flat tire. They had a tire shot down, and they unloaded the bunch, and that's where they found him. And they didn't get the others. The guy driving the car went on across House Creek, and that's when they overtook him and fixed him flat.
Well, Mr. Crane, do you think this Buddy Maxfield, you know, he was the one that was killed in the robbery, had you ever heard that he might have been a member of the Henry Starr gang?
I don't know. He's around West Coast there.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a Bud Maxfield, and he held the horses for him, and when they had that robbery at Stroud. I've got a book on it.
That's good. It's really good.
Yeah. And, you know, that Henry Starr was a good-looking man. Didn't they have a headquarters out in this area, Henry, or did you ever hear anything?
No.
Didn't hear that? Good
job, don't look like he did last time. That's when he's young.
Mm-hmm.
Now who is that?
Henry Starr. He was a nephew of Belle Starr's husband. You know, Sam.
Mr. Crane, back in those days, was there as much?
That's who
the
book's about, Henry Starr.
But was there as much meanness,
what we call meetings this day and time.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Like, for instance, I'm sure that John Stoffel wouldn't dare walk off and leave his mail in his truck today. I'm sure he wouldn't walk 50 feet from it, you know, and it unlocked. Well, were you afraid to leave the mail?
We weren't supposed to.
You weren't supposed to, but would you really have thought anything would have happened?
If you'd have had trouble of that sort, you know, could you?
Well,
could you have trusted the people enough?
Well, yeah, I would have had confidence. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But you couldn't have done that now?
No.
Well, can you tell us anything about the Any Horse Thief Association, either in the Basin or in Manford?
I don't know they that belonged to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember one time they Brandon Iron was there, and Raymond Holmes rode a shuttling pony out there. He's just a boy, and he came out there to get it for his dad. Mm-hmm. They branded him on Left Jaws for the horseshoe. Horseshoe.
Yeah, that was there.
That was their brand, see.
Mm-hmm.
And they built that deal now where the Sunday school was there at Baseline.
Well, that's what I want to ask you about.
The Horse Thief Association did?
Where, what corner now with the, maybe?
Here, right on the corner of Stone place there.
Stone.
But when Willard had a store there, it was on the same location, but I don't know what happened to that old building. It was kind of a box building, and then the Iron Horse Thief built this other building, and then they used it for church and Sunday school. Once,
you know, your dad, you don't happen to have the pin that he wore as a member?
No, I don't. Uh-huh.
Mr. Cole, Ben Cole, was telling us about it, and he said he had given his one his dad had to his son, and he said it was in the shape of the horseshoe, you know, because that was the basin. But I guess they just worked with the law and assisted him. But then they had the Ku Klux Klan, I guess, later on, didn't they?
Yeah, that was active around. I think Oilton was a pretty big place to
But in Basin, you don't know about that.
Oilton was Shamrock and down
there. In Keystone, I heard them talk about Keystone, too.
Not only did Bruce Melcher settle out there after you did.
No, they came down here, George Moore said they came in 98 from Missouri.
98.
Because
they lived on Zachary Place over there in a log house first year, he said. And so then they moved over into West Basin.
Well, you and Bill Taylor and Rich Melzer and Clarence Green all about the same age.
Well, Clarence is about a year older than I.
182.
Oh, he's 2 years older than I.
George McBride.
George's 84.
George McBride.
I think George told me he's 84.
I thought he was 82. I think
maybe 84.
Yeah,
Clarence,
I think maybe just about. Wonder if you could. You know, Ruth Melvin, I have some pictures down in that sand down there where it's all a lake. Playground right now. That's made of male conservators.
Well, the land is.
Of that picking cotton, weighing it on the old wagon gun. I've colored pictures. Yeah.
Well, land was new farther back there, you know, and it just produced better.
And Tommy, if folks wrote a ray of chanting corn down in that river bottom, some of the best corn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is good.
Of course, Bill Taylor did too. I'll come down in the river bottom.
You said this used to be cotton country. When did they quit raising so much cotton around?
Oh, I don't know. We got so you couldn't get pickers. And
When was this then?
Well, I don't remember what it is. It just gradually faded out.
Yeah. How about 20?
Late 20s. Late 20s, yeah, that's about it.
Did they talk much about the soil of Washington Lake, all these farms?
That's what's mad at the country. They kept it clean and soil, topsoil, wore soil.
Yeah, you can see evidence of it, especially if you go up around Blackburn.
Yeah.
Merrimack and up in there, you know, just millions of acres of it. It's all the way. It said used to be in cotton early then. Yeah. Even McElroy up there. I went along that river, that lot of I've driven along that road. When the post, you could just barely see it, 5 foot tall. You could barely see a foot of it. Now, old fence would be drifted to center, covered up the same.
That's like the Dust Bowl days out in Kansas. That was it. Yeah.
Sometimes on the road you couldn't
get. Mr. Pendle, when did you come to this area?
In the
20s. Where did you settle? Where did you settle?
Well, I did.
You did?
Well, I'm not settled yet. No, I'm a newcomer. I can't talk to him.
Where'd you come from?
Missouri.
About half the population come either Missouri or Arkansas.
Yeah. So many people from West Plains, I've noticed, in talking with them, that seems to be a favorite.
The Mitchell's and the Cracker.
Mm-hmm. Reynolds, too.
What were the Dust Bowl days like?
Huh?
What were the Dust Bowl days like?
Oh, I don't know. 1911 was a dry year here. Corn didn't even toss around. Just for hot winds twisted up. But we didn't have so much as blowing dust like they did in the west part of the state.
A friend of mine lived up in North Dakota at that time.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
dead now, but he was talking about he said for days and days you couldn't see the sun.
Yeah.
It was so bad. He said
I had a brother-in-law lived 50 miles north of Dodge City. They'd wet blankets and nail them over the windows. The dust out, you know, and then inside they just scoop it out almost. And it's so fine, you know, it'd go in where air could.
Yeah. He said everybody thought the world was coming to an end. Yeah. They was all together in the church houses praying and everything. They didn't know what was going on. You know, no news then. It took months. He said it took a year almost before they finally got some news up there as to what was going on.
Mr. Crane, back during the Depression days, did you see a big change in the financial status of the basin? Around the Bedford area?
Oh, I don't know. They just
They're
just working a little harder.
Yeah.
Raise gardens.
Yeah. But you didn't see a lot of